For Theatre Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And as we come down to the end of December, we begin to see the Christmas shows recede and look forward to the year ahead, but also begin to reminisce about the year behind, the theatre of 2019. I have the impression it was a very strong year. We begin to see some shifting and transitions. We see the theatres jockeying for position and market share and for spaces.
Right.
Yeah. But some deliberate announcements of transitions in the past year, Alleyway, which will pass the baton on from Neil Raddus to Chris Handley in the time ahead, and similarly at Irish Classical Theatre Company as we begin the transition from Vincent O'Neill to Kate Lucanti.
Now, both of those transitions just announced, and they're in that halcyon year where things are crossing over. Well, I have to say, so far, the transition hasn't happened yet, and it seems like the shows we're seeing are pretty standard for Irish Classical and new shows, which is what they do at the Alleyway.
Well, at this point, a lot of the shift would be beneath the surface. There was not a great deal of transparency, for example, in the Irish Classical transition, and you know, lo and behold, we found our beloved student made in our own image in Kate Lucanti, which leapt onto the scene as a surprise, happy or otherwise, as the case may be, depending who you were, as opposed to the Alleyway transition, a slow and deliberate process, but similarly, there's a lot that you don't see and you don't know, and how it will play out is anyone's guess at all. So, yes, I agree that at this point, all we would know is the fact of it, not the substance of it.
Well, I don't know how long it will take to see the substance, but it's taken a few years for Tim Carroll to finally put his stamp on the Shaw Festival. It really feels like his baby now.
It does, and I think that we're beginning to see him move into a more diverse and modern world, more contemporary offerings, at the same time a more contemporary look at the classic pieces. In addition, his concern for young audiences, the movement into the winter season. You can't be bringing people in if you're not offering a show and a main stage production holiday in the winter to complement the Christmas Carol that they had already.
And it also complements the gestalt of Niagara-on-the-Lake. Let's face it, a lot of people know about Niagara-on-the-Lake from going to the Shaw Festival, and now more people are going to be in that part of the world during the winter when it is rather attractive up there.
Even pretty at Christmas time, isn't
yes.
it? Yes.
Do we call that a symbiotic relationship, or is the Shaw the elephant in the room?
Well, I bet, as any college town will tell you, it's a bit of both,
okay.
I would imagine. But I'm sure they're very grateful to have the Shaw Festival in their town.
Well, we also had some new stages and, you know, some movement on some of the old stages. Let's talk about Ujima Theater. What a success that was. Their own place over there on the west side.
Well, they always had their own place, but it began to be really impossible. This does seem to have given Ujima renewed energy with one excellent show after another.
And I was glad to see Roadless Traveled Production finally got their priorities straight by rearranging their lounge area. I mean, I know they think they're in the business of putting on plays, but let's be honest, what everyone wants to do is stand around and talk. And it was really, really kind of crowded. But they have a clever new design, a little rail along the wall.
Oh, that's handy.
Yes.
Yeah. And just as I got comfortable at the Musical Fair Bar, they, you know, they're going to be having to move in time. But boy, they've had a good year too. Both theaters making good use of 710 Main, Musical Fair most recently with Christmas Over the Tavern. In terms of the mission and vision for that space, I'm not so sure, but you know, these theaters have done good shows in the space. Other theaters in the year, BUA has celebrated Stonewall with a Stonewall edition of their short works.
50th anniversary of Stonewall.
50th anniversary, and Jimmy Janowski returning with Mommy Queerest.
And that was the theme of the float at the Pride Parade, was
yes.
Mommy Queerest, where they, I don't know if they were handing out coat hangers, but they were certainly waving them in the air.
And on that float, Timmy Finnegan, one of the last appearances of Timmy Finnegan. In the passing year, we lost Timmy Finnegan. In the National Theater scene, I guess the biggest loss is Hal Prince, also during the past year, but we'll want to do a little accounting of that as we think about the new year.
Well, speaking of national, we got some national press in the New York Times for what was done to us and how the Kavanaugh Theater responded to that with a fabulous To Kill a Mockingbird.
And their production of To Kill a Mockingbird was the single most successful production in the history of the Kavanaugh Theater. So I guess it was all worth it. Raíces has been producing consistently in the past year. The Paul Robeson has done some good productions this year. We've begun to see the transition of American Repertory Theater into something else. Compass, looking at new works, there's always a need for that. Subversive Theater, She Kills Monsters comes to mind as a strong offering in the year. Desiderio's Dinner Theater, these long runs of popular shows as they pack people in for dinner and a show. Let's see, it's at New Phoenix Theater, which is just concluding Come Back to the Five and Dime, and Jimmy Dean. Jimmy Dean has been in the mix. Startles me to see that Theater of Youth Company is celebrating, is it 20 years at the Allendale Theater? I wrote to them and said, that can't possibly be right. I was present at the opening night, and it was recent. It was very recent.
A big success story, Theater of Youth.
Well, I guess that we will continue to assess the year behind and make our predictions for the year ahead. For Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.